Good Saturday morning to everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the CCA. I am Gary Byron. Chris, how are you there, brother?
Good morning, Gary Byron. How are you doing?
Ooh, I am doing just ducky. You are still over the phone. Last time we chatted, last week,
yeah,
you were just getting over COVID, and you sounded great, and you sound just as perky this morning. Have you been able to get out and about more over the past 7 days as opposed to the previous 7 days?
Oh yeah, no, I'm 100% back to work, doing all the things I need to do. I'm actually traveling for business, so I am speaking to you over the phone from my hotel room, and yeah, no, I'm doing well. Everything is great, clean bill of health, and happier than well, never mind.
A pig.
Happier than a pig in poop.
Yeah. There you go. You said you're traveling for business. This is not a pleasure vacation, huh? This is
no. This is business.
And are you in country or are you out of country?
I am in country.
Okay, good.
I am in the beautiful state of Louisiana.
I've been there. I've been to New Orleans. Spent about a week there.
Yeah, I like New Orleans. Actually, I've been here many times.
Best food I've ever eaten. Anywhere in our country or out of our country. I'm not saying it's my favorite city in the U.S. I'm saying it's the best food anywhere. Matter of fact, I remember, so I was in the French Quarter one time, and I said, take me, I want to eat where the natives eat. I don't want to go to the tourist traps in the French Quarter. Where do people who live in New Orleans go when they want a great dinner? And this guy goes to me, he goes, you have a car? I said, yeah, I rented a car. He says, okay. He gave me directions, and he took me to some little hole-in-the-wall dive that when I saw it from the outside, I'm like, oh, this guy's playing a joke on me. Ha, ha, whatever. But you know what? We go in there anyways. We're like, we're past the point of no return. We're already here. No, he wasn't playing a joke on me. It was the best food I'd eaten on any day of that vacation. It blew away any of the restaurants in the French Quarter. And as you know, I mean, there's some phenomenal restaurants. I mean, outstanding restaurants in the French Quarter. This, though, this little hole-in-the-wall restaurant that didn't look like much from the outside had the absolute best food I've ever eaten in my life. There's my quick New Orleans story for you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Good for you, because it probably cost you one-tenth of what you'd pay down in Bourbon Street in that area.
Yes, you're absolutely right, because it's less touristy.
That's the one thing. See, I agree with you. I think that New Orleans has some of the best food that you could ever ask for. I think, though, that if you go into New Orleans, into the area that everybody comes to, you're going to pay just such ridiculously large amounts of money. I just refuse to do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't care. I don't need to say I've been to Brennan's. I don't need to say that I've been to all these places. I'm like you. I try and find out-of-the-way places, because in this part of the country, I mean, the food is just great.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Probably no matter where you go. Right?
Nah, well,
a lot of jazz down there, a lot of Louis Armstrong and
Louis Armstrong, the airport, right?
Yeah,
International Airport.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's nice. There's a lot of places that if you like music, you can go and listen to. It's a good time of year because you don't have all the crazies, you know, from Mardi Gras.
Well, yeah, that's in February. You know, it's very swampy, though. I remember the temperature only being about, because I did go in, I didn't go for Mardi Gras, but I it was about 2 weeks, was it 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after? I don't remember, but I can tell you this, the temperature was about 65 degrees, but the humidity, it was so soupy and, humid. I can't even say hot, because 65 degrees is 65 degrees, but the humidity was off the charts. And it was like February or March.
I'm going to tell you that I find right now the temperature here is absolutely wonderful.
Oh, you're lucky then.
It's
great.
It's like 85 degrees.
Wow.
And the humidity is not that bad. which is surprising because, as you said rightfully, in this area, this place usually is pretty humid.
Well, you're below, very lucky. You're below sea level in New Orleans.
I know, right?
Yeah. And yeah, have you? I mean, I know you've been there before. Did you, when you were there more for pleasure, did you take in any of the tours, and were you able to kind of travel outside the French Quarter and take in some of the sights? And
well, yeah, I mean, I'm here for business, so I've actually been visiting a lot of the historic cemeteries,
mm-hmm.
and it's fascinating. It's just fascinating the way they handle things here,
and how
it's
they
so much different.
How they bury people on top of one another.
Yeah.
Vertically.
Yeah.
So vertically somebody could.
And above ground because you can't dig down.
That's right, because you're below sea level. Yeah, I remember doing one of the tours, and I too visited one of the cemeteries, and they said, well, you know, like you're 6 feet under, you know, that expression. Well, we dig 15 feet under and put one casket, and then we allow a few feet in between, and then we bury another on top of it. Not like I said, there's some buffer of a few feet, and then we'll put somebody else 6 feet under, and then it's like wow, there's two layers. And he says, there's two layers for now. He says, what we have a feeling, I forget what year he told me, he says, there's going to come a time when we may have to go three stories. And we all got a chuckle out of that. I mean, I don't know how true that. He could have just been telling us
well,
a story.
Well, let me tell you that there are graves that have got 18 people buried in them.
Wow.
Because there are some places where they can actually dig into the ground, but because of the characteristics of the soil and the water, within 2 years, there's nothing left. And what they end up doing is they will dig down and they'll take all of the bones and just move them nicely to the side and lay the next person to rest.
Fascinating.
So there's some graves. Listen to this. There's some graves that have got 18 people buried in them.
That's incredible. Wow. Woo. Yeah. Oh, before we get into the nitty-gritty of this morning's show, how are the Dignity of Life? Here we are in October, right? We already. How are Dignity of Life seminars coming? And then I'll ask you, of course, I want to know about any specials going on, which I think continue into this month. But let's start with Dignity of Life.
Dignity of Life seminars are going extremely well. I have wonderful attendance. I think we mentioned last week how great they were going. It was just,
yeah,
I mean, it's shocking to me that, you know, so many people are attending. And I'm not shocked. I'm happy. I'm very happy because I think that it's one of the best, absolute best ways to learn about some really important issues. You know, you and I have had shows that we've completely dedicated just to the Dignity of Life seminar. So I think it's a really important tool, and I'm really happy that you know, we've had the ability to offer it to the families of the Archdiocese. We have three coming up, October 12th at 2 o'clock at St. Mary's Church in New Britain,
mm-hmm.
October 18th at 2 o'clock at St. Margaret Church in Madison, and then October 19th at 6 o'clock at St. Margaret Church in Madison. And as always, look on our website at CCACEM, like Mary, .org, and you'll be able to get the most up-to-date information and locations of all of the seminars.
Wonderful.
And it's the month of October.
Yes.
So in the month of October, we do have a financial incentive for families of the Archdiocese.
That's where I was going to bring up.
Yeah, sorry. Stole your thunder.
No, please. Steal it.
For the remainder of the month, if you purchase a mausoleum crypt, you will receive $500 off. If you purchase a tandem, which is a double, you'll get $1,000 off. And as I told you in the past, that last week, I think, that this is the only time we've ever offered that level of savings. So I hope that if anyone is contemplating doing pre-planning, now is a very, very good time for them to come talk to a family service advisor and have an opportunity to plan out something for the future that ultimately provides you tremendous benefits for you and for your family.
If I remember what you said last week and maybe even the week before, where you've offered, you know, a special here and there throughout the year. This one, though, you do every autumn. But you've never offered it at this significant savings as you are correct. Right now,
usually
right?
Usually the tandem is like you get $750 off.
Right.
So literally it's a 30% additional savings.
Well, then I guess if anybody was ever contemplating this or thinking it over, you better strike right now because, what, this offer lasts only until the end of this month, right?
October 31st is a hard deadline.
All right. There you go. You act now, my friends. All right. So,
yeah, I mean, really, I, you know, I'm not one of these salesy guys, but
no, well, it's common sense.
If you're thinking about it, this is the time to do it.
Oh no, that's not being pushy. That's advising. Why would you spend more money that you don't have to when you can get it at 30? You know, at the savings you're getting right now. So,
I agree.
Okay. Today we're going to discuss.
We are in agreement. We are in sync.
Oh. Of course we are. It's better than being the Backstreet Boys, right? We're going. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be here all day.
All day long, folks. You want to discuss the rosary and its significance in the Catholic tradition. I don't know how much time you need for this. That's why I kind of wanted to get right into it. Because the rosary, you know, I mean, it's obviously it's important. People pray the rosary daily. So what's its significance in the Catholic tradition?
Well, you know, this is probably one of my most favorite topics ever.
Oh, good.
I am a personal devotee to the Rosary, and I can't say enough good about it. The purpose of the Rosary is to help us meditate, and we help meditate on the great mysteries of our salvation. Pope Pius XII called it a compendium of the gospel.
Mm.
So the main focus is praying on Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. We say the Our Fathers throughout the prayer, the Rosary, that remind us that Jesus' Father is the initiator of salvation. We pray the Hail Marys, which reminds us to join with Mary in contemplating the mysteries of each of the Rosaries, and ultimately join with her Son in his earthly and heavenly existence. And the glory bees remind us of the purpose of all life is to give glory to the Trinity. So the devotion of the Rosary is not only an important practice in the Church, but it's a devotion singularly honored by having a special feast dedicated to it. And it really wasn't until John Paul II where we have also the Feast of Divine Mercy, and Divine Mercy, of course, is another set of prayers, but there's more to it. This is just a feast that is the only one that's devoted to a specific devotion. So the devotion of the Rosary preceded the feast by centuries, and the institution of the feast was a glorious tribute to the power of the devotion. The origin of it is that Saint Dominic was granted a vision in which the Blessed Virgin told him to use this rosary as a means of overcoming heresy. Because at the time that Saint Dominic was here, it was close to the same time that Saint Francis actually was walking Earth, 1206.
No, we talked about him last week.
Yeah. There was a lot of heresies that were making inroads into the teachings of the Church. As a matter of fact, remember, it was St. Francis who was complaining about how the Church was not the same Church that Christ had started. And in order to help defeat these heresies, there were actual wars, battles that were fought. And they were fought against what we call the Albigensian heretics, and they were greatly outnumbered. These enemies greatly outnumbered the Catholics who were fighting them. And they won. And this win was always attributed to their daily recitation of the Rosary by St. Dominic and all of his followers. The weapons of war have changed drastically, but the Battle of Lepanto over 400 years ago, without a doubt, it was the Rosary that was the spiritual weapon that ultimately was responsible for that final victory. Now, at Lourdes and at Fatima, Mary appeared to the children holding in her hands a rosary. And she made it clear to them and through them to the world that the frequent and devout recitation of the rosary was a means by which the world could be brought back to God and lasting peace could be achieved. So, you know, the rosary appeals to many, not only for what it stands for, but it's also fairly simple. The constant repetition of words helps us create an atmosphere in which we contemplate the mysteries of God. You know, we sense Jesus and Mary are with us, both in the joys and sorrows of his life. And we grow in hope that God will bring us some share in this glory of Jesus and Mary forever.
That would be, yeah, that would be ideal, right? I mean,
right? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the goal is.
But there are 15 promises of the rosary, are there not?
There are. And Our Lady came and actually told them to St. Dominic and said, those who faithfully serve me by recitation of the rosary shall receive special graces. That's
right.
The first. The second, she promises her special protection, excuse me, and the greatest grace to all those who shall recite the rosary. Three, rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresy. And she tells us that the recitation of the rosary will fight to rid the world of heresy.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, the recitation of the rosary will become virtuous and allow good works to flourish. And it will obtain for the souls the abundant mercy of God, which is something that Jesus has said many times through the saints. Fifth, the soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. That's kind of a big deal. The soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. Well, by that, by not perishing, we don't mean you're going to live forever. It means when you die, you're not going to go to hell. So you say the rosary every day, you're helping build your steps to heaven. Six, those who recite the rosary devoutly, applying themselves to the consideration of its sacred mysteries, shall never be conquered by misfortune. Now, in God's justice, he will not chastise them, nor will they perish by an unprovided death. In other words, they're not going to die being unprepared for heaven. That's a big deal. You know, so it's one. Now, I have to tell you, though, it's one of my own little fears. I go to confession frequently, and I'm always worried that I'm going to step out of confession and that bolt of lightning is going to come. Because that's the one time that I know I'm ready. You know, after that, since I breathe, I sin. I mean, that's just how life is, right?
Of course.
Seven, those who have a true devotion to the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. Eight, those who faithfully recite the rosary shall have, during their life and their death, the light of God and the plenitude of his graces. At the moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. What that means is that at the time of death, the saints are going to be there praying for you. Ninth, I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the rosary, so that if you go to purgatory, she's going to help you get out sooner. The faithful children of the rosary shall merit a high degree of glory in heaven. 11, by the recitation of the rosary, you shall obtain all that you ask of me. Now, the caveat that I always throw in is, if it is according to the will of the Father.
Okay.
12, those who propagate the Holy Rosary shall be aided by me in their necessities. So whatever you need in life, Mary will help gain for you. 13, I have obtained from my Son all the advocates of the Rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of death. Huge promise. 14, all who recite the rosary are my beloved children and the brothers and sisters of my only son, Jesus. And 15, devotion for my rosary is a great sign of predestination. And well, if you think about it, you know, kind of all these promises kind of make great sense. Because if you are truly praying the rosary every day, you can't help but contemplate on your life.
Yeah.
And you can't help but contemplate on how you should live your life. So you tend to live a better life. And you tend to live a life that helps you get to heaven.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Folks, you're listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. You can check out their website, which is www.ccacem.org. And their toll-free number is 800-505-0050. I'll repeat all of that more towards the end of the show. What's the history of the rosary, though, Chris?
Well, the rosary itself, you're talking about the beads and,
yes,
and how it's structured.
Right.
The structure of the rosary evolved over the centuries, especially from between the 12th and 15th centuries. You know, at one point when it first started, there was 150 beads, and each one of those beads was actually a representation of the Psalms, the 150 Psalms contained in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, people couldn't read, so they would say prayers. And that's why the beads actually initially had 150. Ultimately, it became 50 Hail Marys were recited and linked with verses of Psalms, and then other phrases evoking the lives of Jesus and Mary. And this is all during the 12th through the 15th century that this progression occurred. Then it was during the 16th century where the structure of the actual five-decade rosary was created. Now, during that time, there was only 15 mysteries. And you would say 10 Hail Marys for each of the mysteries of the rosary, and hence, since there were five mysteries in each set of rosaries, you had 50 Hail Marys that were said, okay?
Wow, that's a lot.
Pope Pius V actually organized a fleet under the command of Don Juan of Austria, who was the half-brother of King Philip XI of Spain. And during this time frame, they were going to fight the Muslims because Constantinople had just fallen.
Mm-hmm.
So that means when Constantinople fell, that means the Balkans and Hungary were open to conquest. And that meant that if the Muslims took over those, they'd have control of the entire Mediterranean. And back in the day, that was the main source of commerce. So Pope Pius helped organize this fleet and told everyone that they all needed to be praying the rosary every single day, and under the title of Our Lady of Victory, the Lord would grant a victory to the Christians. So although the Muslims far outnumbered the Christians in both vessels and sailors when they were ready to do battle, the Muslims were defeated. This was in 1571, and it's one of the great battles in religious history, the Battle of Lepanto. So it was the following year Pope St. Pius V established the Feast of the Holy Rosary on October 7th, where the faithful would not only remember this victory, but also give thanks to the Lord for the powerful intercessions of our Blessed Mother.
That's kind of where
it all came from.
Very interesting. I've only got about 2 minutes remaining, and I don't know. There's a couple of questions I still have for you.
Yeah,
I guess I wanted to know where did the structure of the actual rosary come from? And, you know, otherwise, you know, the use of the rosary beads. And I'm going to ask you both the questions right now because I'm running out of time. And really, why are the rosary and those beads I just mentioned? Why are they often taken out and set at wakes? So well, if you can answer those two questions in like a minute and a half, I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but
let me address the second question first. The rosary is devoted to Mary, okay? Mary's the Virgin Mother of Jesus. Catholic theology says that Mary made many promises regarding the recitation of the rosary that have to do with the sanctification or protection of the souls of the dead.
Okay.
I told you just not long ago what the 15 promises were. A lot of it has to do with protection and sanctification at the time of death. So while the rosary has many purposes, It's often prayed before, during, and after the time of death of someone as an intercessory prayer, asking Mary to go to Jesus to say, please have mercy on behalf of the deceased. You may not recall this, but, you know, years ago, wakes used to be 2 days long.
I do remember that, yes.
Okay, and the reason they were is because the first night was a rosary. Everybody would get together and do a rosary service for the soul of the deceased. Think about how beautiful that is. You know, you have 20, 30, 50, 100 people sitting down, all praying the rosary for this person that just passed. What a powerful way to ask for God's help. You know, as far as the structure, we kind of covered that. I think the one thing I'd like to mention, because it's important, we talked a lot about the mysteries of the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to tell you that there's four sets of mysteries: the joyful, the luminous, the sorrowful, and the glorious. All dealing with the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, okay? In that order. So joyful mysteries, the first is, you know, the Annunciation when Mary found out she was going to be the mother of God, the Visitation when she went to Elizabeth, the Nativity, which was the birth of Jesus, the presentation of Jesus at the temple, and then the finding of Jesus at the temple. The luminous mysteries, which have only been around since Pope John Paul II, the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, the wedding at Cana, the feast of the wedding of Cana.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Proclamation of the kingdom of God, transfiguration, and the institution of the Holy Eucharist. Sorrowful mysteries was agony in the garden, scourging at the pillar, crowning of thorns, carrying of the cross, and ultimately the crucifixion. And then the glorious mysteries was the resurrection, the ascension, descent of the Holy Spirit, the assumption of Mary, and the coronation of Mary as Queen of Heaven and Earth.
Perfect.
Those are the things, those are the mysteries we contemplate when we pray the rosary. So I wanted to get those out so people understood what we were talking about
right.
when we say we contemplate these sacred mysteries.
No, and I'm glad you did, and we did have time for that, of course. Folks, you've been listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Very easy to reach them online at CCACEM, as in Mary, .org. By the way, you can also send an email if you've got a question that you'd like to have answered on these very airwaves, maybe even as soon as next Saturday. Simply email us at ccawdrc@gmail.com. And of course, that toll-free number for the Catholic Cemeteries Association, 800-505-0050, 800-505-0050. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the CCA, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Until next Saturday morning, have a good one, everybody. So long.